Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Kaplan and Crew, Alex Padilla, John Browner, and Jason Lawhead with you guys today on a Thursday. Comes to you live, YouTube, Mightier 1090, audio podcast, anywhere that you listen or watch the show. Shout out to you. And do us a favor, if you're on YouTube watching this, go ahead and subscribe while you're there. We appreciate that. Subscribe, comment, turn on notifications, do all that. YouTube beautifulness. We are brought to you by 7 Mile Casino. 7milecasino.com, just minutes away from downtown San Diego, with all of your favorite table games, and now a Sammy's restaurant and bar with a full bar. What does that mean? Espresso martinis available for you, the great friends. We have a meeting with them tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We're going to finalize the details for the event on May 4th, the Great Friends Reunion, with performances by none other than these two, Jason Lawhead and John Browner. So tomorrow, and for sure by Monday, we will have all the details for our May 4th event happening at 7 Mile Casino on May 4th. Comedy, dinner, drinks, table games. It'll be a very, very, very fun time as long as Browner doesn't roast you to death. So with that said, let me say hi to the boys today. Jason, John. How you Alex. Doing? How we doing today?
Good, man. Last day for me on a vacation. Heading out tomorrow with the wife to Nashville for a few days and then tripping around the South. My sister lives in Birmingham with her family, so we're going to see her and then head out Atlanta, Savannah, up to Raleigh.
You're
where
doing
my best
the whole
man is.
South.
We're doing quite a bit of it. Yeah.
Driving from Nashville?
No way out. We're getting a car in Nashville. Nashville to Memphis. 2 nights Nashville, 1 night Memphis, 2 nights Birmingham, 1 night Atlanta, 1 night Savannah, 2 nights Raleigh, Durham, dump off the car, fly home.
You going gas or electric?
We're going gas.
Gas. Oh, it's the South. You should get
it
a
is
truck.
The, it is the truck. South. Yeah.
I would get a truck. You know that, have you guys seen this? Well, Browner, first of all, how are you doing today?
Out here, living, moving, structuring.
So, do you guys know the hack that renters of cars have done besides the Turo thing that Browner was talking about? And now that we all know how cheap Teslas are to rent, do you guys know about the U-Haul?
No.
No.
So U-Haul has trucks. And what I mean by trucks, just passenger trucks, not semi-trucks.
Like pickup trucks,
pickup
right?
Trucks. Pickup trucks.
Yeah.
Those are $20 a day to rent.
Hmm.
So when people just need a rental car for a day, people have been renting U-Haul pickup trucks and just using that as their rental car for the day.
There's a lot that go, okay, that's a good idea if you're going 30 miles the entire time while you're visiting a city. The part about the hack that a lot of people leave out, especially the one in particular, U-Haul monitors the miles.
Mm-hmm.
And they charge you per mile you go. So you can rent the car for $20. But if you go over the mileage limit, they didn't charge you over the mileage limit. Mm. So you have to be very specific. That's a great that's a great hack. But as a person who's going over the miles in a moving van, it ain't pretty.
But if your base is $20, you know, because when you rent a car, like I told you guys, the Tesla yesterday or whatever day it was, $77 sticker price, but then it's like $35 charge fee, X amount California fee, this fee, this fee, this fee.
It adds up.
It was like $150.
Right. And then and you're dropping it off at a different place than you picked it up. That's a fee.
Right. You add on a little insurance there just in case you get in a little fender bender, you know? So I think the base of $19.95 for a U-Haul pickup truck speaks to a lot of people, JB, but I get what you're saying. There's always the fine print.
Gas mileage is always terrible on those things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gas mileage is terrible. So you're paying for the overdrive of miles, and then when you need to, if you need to fill the tank, that's costing you because you're not getting any economy. It's kind of like what Spirit Airlines does. Hey, flight only costs $59, but unless you wear all your clothes at once, every bag costs $150. You know
that bag you want to put on here, $250.
Exactly.
Yeah. Carry on, $150.
Right. Yeah. Sneeze, $20.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that
you get up to pee, $10.
Do they even offer you drink service
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I've never been.
I mean, they offer the service, but I don't think it's free.
I've been on a Frontier flight. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't that bad. I squeezed my bag into their little compartment that made it free. But it wasn't terrible. Spirit, I have not flown yet. I will tell you that I despise the Southwest formula of not being able to pick a seat. Despise it. I think I don't have anxiety as a person. I know a lot of people deal with it. That's the only time in my life where I am anxious of where I'm going to sit on a plane. And if you give me a B or a C group, I am like deathly terrified of being stuck in a middle seat for a 4-hour flight. Bruh. Like that just like terrifies me to death.
I don't even go on the Southwest website anymore. I don't even do it. If I'm going to fly, when I travel, I'm traveling under the complete understanding that I'm going to do it comfortably and without stress. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get to the airport at a reasonable amount of time, and I'm going to pay the extra 50, 60 bucks or whatever it is on this other airline to have a seat with my name on it.
Yeah. I like that too.
The Southwest, great about Southwest though.
If you're little, it's great because all the seats can fit you. Me, I got to get that exit row or everybody in the row is going to have a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I have different travel things I need.
Restrictions?
I got different restrictions.
You got a checklist of what you need. You're like, I need leg room. I need whatever.
Right. Or my knee and my hip will hurt the entire trip wherever I'm going if I sit cramped for 4 hours or 3 hours in a compression cabin. It's just not awesome. It's not awesome. But you little people, you know, Spirit, Southwest, Boondoggle, whatever the name, whatever these
Boondoggle
things are called, hop on, man.
Yeah.
What I like about Southwest is that they don't, you can cancel. They don't penalize you. They just, it's just a change of fare. And sometimes if the fare is lower, when you go to say, I don't want these two flights because I can't make this, I'm going to use this money in my bank later. If that change of fare is less, you get credit. It'll say like next ticket minus $39. Mm-hmm. So, and bags fly free. Best on time and arrival departure statistics of any domestic carrier. They get you to
except during Christmas.
Everybody's bad. Go look at
that. No, but I mean, you remember what happened this Christmas?
Yeah, that was 20,000
flights. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. That was one of
you were one of, you were one of the people that they canceled on, sir.
No, that was last year. And that you know what? That was last year. And guess what? That was Alaskan Airlines. Because we were going to Seattle. That's funny that
Brian, my buddy who I was with in Houston, he was one of the millions of people affected. He was stuck in Wyoming for 7 days.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, if Wyoming,
and then he rented a car and drove to Denver. He had family in Denver and he stuck it out in Denver, but he couldn't leave Denver. But then I asked him, I was like, well, did you ever look outside of Southwest? And he said, never thought about that until my wife or his girlfriend was like, why don't you look outside of Southwest? And he ended up flying JSX home, which JSX is quickly becoming like a must-do for me. I need to do JSX. JSX is like a private plane. That's not
that
a private plane.
Kaplan takes up to Mammoth, kind of.
Just a commuter.
JSX is basically a bunch of people who get together and purchase a smaller plane.
But you can just
easiest way to explain it.
When I go to Vegas for F1, like me and my wife are gonna like treat ourselves and fly JSX, you know, because it has its own terminal, which is not even a terminal. It's right across from the San Diego rental airport part.
Right.
So there's no TSA. There's no terminal.
So do you board like in a hangar?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a private jet.
It's a private jet. It fits 20 to 30 people. And they out of San Diego, I think they only go to Vegas out of San Diego.
Hmm.
And they're short flights. And then once you're on the plane, everything's free. Everything. Alcohol, food, whatever is all
wow.
Free. Yeah, because you pay a little extra more, for it. It costs a little more.
Sure.
But still, it's something that I'm very much into because
You're not going through the airport. You're not doing
right.
You're going right out, walking up on the plane. You're getting
and Jay, you know, yesterday or my flight back on Tuesday, when I was sitting at my layover in Austin, and I realized how tired I was, and I had to go to LA and find my way home from LA. I did know about the non-cancellation thing, so I looked at flights from Austin to San Diego. I was like, let's just do a quick detour here. Let's not go to LA. Let's go to San Diego from Austin. There's more options here. But they were all like $800 at that point.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go to LA instead. But people got a kick out of the Tesla story. I think I've inspired people, Brown or me and you, with whether it be Turo or rental car. I think great friends are going to be driving Teslas by rent.
Shout out.
People got inspired. Also, I was very surprised by this.
Oh, you shouldn't have been. I know where you're going. Wait, okay. I think I know where you're going.
Do you know where I'm going?
I thought I was, but maybe I didn't. Go ahead.
Only two people, but still, two people agreed with your croissant witch take yesterday.
Four.
Oh, okay. I saw two on Twitter.
Four. So there you go. And here's the best part about this conversation. I had someone stop me on the street yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I was with my child. I had a listener, a woman, stop me on the street and go, I love the show. I'm with you on the Chris Sandwich. And
oh,
I
wow.
went, ha-ha! Ladies love it.
Well,
so in your face.
Well, to be fair, it wasn't like McDonald's is better than In-N-Out, one by 100%. So yeah. There's going to be those people out there that don't know what they're talking about either. You're not sure. alone on
wow.
that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just fellas, y'all didn't know. It's okay. Y'all didn't know. I've exposed y'all to something that's really, you know, new to y'all. It's okay to be like, all right, listen, I ain't know about that. I'm going to give that a shot. See how that turns out. Find a Burger King.
No. Jason's like, nah.
I just
hey dude, you're road tripping this weekend. You might need a Burger King stop at some point.
Yeah, man.
Let me tell you something.
Just ain't gonna be no breakfast burritos in Mississippi.
Just for you guys, because I never do that. I'm gonna at one of these spots, yeah. I'm gonna stop and get a Burger King. I'm gonna find a burger. I'm gonna tell my wife we're going into this. She's gonna be
and have her record doing? You.
Have and I'm gonna have her record me doing a Burger King, you know, rating of the Chris Sandwich.
Yeah,
because this is what I'm trying to tell you, man. When you get to Mississippi, Georgia,
yeah,
we're going through it all.
Ain't gonna be no breakfast burritos, my man.
I was at.
It's not gonna happen.
There's a hilarious. That's the kind of place where if they even have tortillas, they don't warm them up. They just give it to you
cold.
I've been to places like that before. You know, I went to like a barbecue spot where they did pulled pork tacos. I saw this man in Texas. Like, how does this happen in Texas? There's a lot of Mexicans in Texas. I don't know how this happens in Texas. This man pulled out a flour tortilla out of a package, did not warm it up, and just put pulled pork on my tortilla.
And
let the pulled pork go to work. Gross. And I was like, my brother.
Hey, man.
At least microwave. Body heat. At least microwave. At least.
Body heat this burrito.
I would rather have cold coffee than just a burrito or a tortilla or anything like that just right out of the bag.
Right out the bag.
Like, I'd rather have like cold coffee, not meaning iced coffee, like cold, like coffee that sat around all day and got cold.
Not a cold brew.
Right.
Yeah, no, I mean coffee. The pot that was off and it's been sitting there for a day.
Like, it's Folgers that's been sitting in that pot for like 12 hours. You're like,
then just something out of the bag without being heated up or
the cold coffee industry is now a $1 billion industry. So people love the cold coffee. So I'm glad you clarified.
Well, I had to clarify. Yeah. I meant sitting around all day, room temperature coffee.
I mean, because you get to, for me, once it passes noon, all my coffee's cold. It's all iced after that point. I don't know, for whatever reason, my internal, you know, craving is hot coffee.
Even in like cold weather.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Hot coffee before noon
and cold coffee afternoon.
Yeah, no way. I'm an iced coffee guy during the hot months, but and especially like later in the day if I need one, but never in cold. If I'm even a hint of chill, I there's no way I can have
like cold doesn't affect my food cravings, only heat. So if it's hot out, I will never touch a soup. I'll never touch like a hot coffee, anything like that. If it's cold, I'll eat ice cream. I don't care. Like for whatever reason, that's the way it works for me. Like, I will eat ice cream if it's freezing outside, but I will not touch a hot soup
interesting
if it's hot outside.
Because I'm opposite. I mean, I don't really like hot food when it's hot, but like, yeah, like I eat, drink tons of smoothies and stuff, make them at home during the, as the weather gets warmer, but I might have once a week during the winter, and just only because I'm just trying to get some, you know, fruit and some stuff in me. But I'm like, oh man, this is terrible.
This segment is sponsored by 7 Mile Casino. The show's brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. But this segment is dedicated to one of our listeners, who is our biggest critic on Instagram. And he sent a solid, I don't know how many messages yesterday on Instagram that I just so happened to see. He wants us to talk only about sports. He wants box scores. He wants stats. He wants sports. We brought this guy up before, Scott Browner. So shout out to John Hederman. This segment is for you. We will not talk a single lick about athletic activities this segment, but maybe we will the rest of the show. He was like, talking like, you talked this much about Parade. You talked this much about this. You talked this much about Tesla. It's like, damn, dog. You're like that. You're like the Joe Rigby of keeping stats of how often we talk about. Isn't the Parade kind of to do with sports?
It is sport. It's totally sports related.
Yeah.
You know you're in a sports nerd when you're doing official scorekeeping on a radio show at home. When you know the old like, hey, if you're keeping score at home, like when you're doing that to a radio show.
Yeah.
That's a sports nerd. But shout out to you for listening. Thanks.
Also, like, when was the last time you went to a game and saw someone keeping score, like a baseball game?
I do it.
Every game I've been to, I see someone doing it in the row I'm in. Really? I don't get it. Yes, I don't. There was somebody doing it when we went to when it was the last game we went to when it was raining and the Padres beat the Dodgers. Dude, there was a person in the far right end of the row while all this was going on, still doing it in the rain, still doing it. I'm like, you tweaking, bro.
I got to tell you, the last person I saw keep score was Coach Quintero in the press box. I was sitting next to him, and he was
I went to 4 All-Star games in my life back in the day. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm looking for the programs. I have programs saved that I've kept score. So I kept score I bought the program and kept score at every All-Star game I ever went to, which is really hard to do because of the amount of subs that keep coming. And you got to make an extra line, put that guy's name under the right fielder that came in for that right fielder. And I've got
beep up.
Yeah, man. I got some other ones. I think it's cool. I started doing it when I was young. I learned how to keep official score. You know, my dad was a basketball coach. One of his best friends that guys I knew growing up, Mr. McCall, he was the baseball coach. And I actually, on one of the Hall of Fame teams, I wasn't good enough to play on that our baseball program was really good. So I kind of hung around the team, and I was one of the only kids, probably the only kid in the school that knew how to official scorekeep. So I was the home official scorekeeper for that whole season. And that team recently got inducted into the Hall of Fame in our city, and I'm a Hall of Fame
inductee
scorekeeper. I am. I'm on the list of the guys that were and scorekeeper. You know, all the scorekeeper Jason Wallhead. Yeah, man.
Wow.
All the kids in high school that keep score. Shout out to you. You are unsung hero. Respect to y'all. 100%. All the girls that have been water girls on the football team and then got knocked down after the game. You know, you do a service to the high school community. We need you. Stay strong.
What did they get after the game?
If you don't know.
You know what that means.
If you go to a baseball game.
You know what that means.
I'm going to move on. Just looking for a little more embellishment.
Every.
Don't let him do this to you. Let's move on here. Because we're
team manager, young lady.
You ain't got to tell me. I'm just
who was on any team I was on. If there was a young lady who went to the school, picked up the towels, she was picking up something else after the game. No disrespect. We need y'all. Y'all are a vital part of the team, okay? Y'all need something hung in the rafters because a lot of guys are better because of you.
Hey, they get rings too, man.
One way or the other, girl, you're going to get a ring.
They replace the electrolytes during the game, and then they remove the electrolytes after the game.
Right. No disrespect. I got nothing but respect for y'all. Y'all on the front line.
You good?
Yeah.
You good?
I just wanted to be clear. I just wanted that to get out. Because people say we don't talk about sports. That's a vital part of sports that no one ever talks about. Yeah. That's the underbelly of sports. Listen, you know how many back of the bus rides I've had in high school? Okay.
So when we come back, we're going to talk about sports because if you missed it yesterday,
we just did.
Fernando Tatis Jr. did something, and the pitcher that was facing him sounded off on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw what happened on Twitter. That was pretty funny. I'm still dying on the inside. Kaplan and Crew, brought to you by 7 Mile Casino. When we come back, we'll talk about what this pitcher said about Fernando Tatis after giving up a dinger to him yesterday. This is Kaplan and Crew. Check us out. KaplanandCrew.com. Subscribe on YouTube. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Kaplan and Crew. Just the crew. Alex Padilla, John Browner, Jason Lawhead with you guys today. Jason is out after today. He's heading to the South, where he'll be exploring the entire South. What you said? Mm-hmm. You said Nashville, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, and South Carolina? Did I do that right?
Nashville to Memphis. Yeah, Nashville to Memphis, Memphis to Birmingham, mm-hmm. Birmingham to Atlanta, Atlanta to Savannah, Savannah up to Raleigh, Durham. But yeah, we're going to stop in Charleston in the morning. We leave Savannah, so we're going to see Charleston, South Carolina. Very nice. We're going to go to Savannah. My wife wants to see the little bench. That's where they shot Forrest Gump when he sits on the park bench and talks to those people waiting for the bus. So we're going to go to
where he annoys every single person next to him.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So by the time we get to Savannah, I will have annoyed the hell out of her from sitting next to her for so long in a car. But yeah, we're going to go see the Civil Rights Museum in Birmingham. You know, all kinds of cool little things. And
nice.
Nashville. We're going to party in Nashville. Go to Graceland in Memphis.
Full on trip. Well, this segment is brought to you by MedCline. Brown, did you get your pillow yet? What's taking so long?
I don't know, man. I think they stitching every itch of that pillow and getting every feather off every bird for me.
I don't think they make 6'7" MedCline pillows, maybe. Maybe we gotta,
they might be making one.
We got to email Rick, but we are brought to you by MedCline. Go to CaplanandCrew.com, click that MedCline logo, and you're going to get 20% off your purchase for any product at MedCline, whether that be the shoulder relief pillow, the acid reflux pillow like I have, body pillow. It's all going to be 20% off for you guys, the great friends. Go to CaplanandCrew.com, click on the MedCline logo, and you will see your discount pop up for you right there. Gentlemen, I don't know if you guys are keeping up or how much you guys are keeping up with what's happening with Fernando Tatis. I feel like, you know, people are waiting for it, right? We're waiting for the season. You got a massive road trip for the Padres this week. Massive. Because you're playing two of the best teams in the National League, at least preseason poll, World Series odds. You're playing the Braves for 4, maybe. You're playing the Mets for 3, maybe, if the weather holds up. So Tatis's return could get pushed back if there are some delays, if there are cancellations. But Fernando Tatis yesterday did this. I don't know how much you guys are paying attention, but look at this.
They got gypped. The 2-2 is swung on and driven high and deep. That is way gone. Way out to left, and Tatis homers to the clubhouses. Fernando Tatis Jr. with his first home run in a long time.
He also walked twice, struck out once, played 6 innings in right field. Tatis scheduled to be back on the Padres April 20th. So yesterday, Padres Twitter goes absolutely nuts. Everything that this guy does, but everyone goes nuts for on Twitter. A local reporter named Darnay Tripp tweeted, Cade McClure will be telling people for years about the time he gave up an absolute nuke to Fernando Tatis Jr. Okay, whatever. Cade McClure enters the chat. Cade McClure tweets, cheater hits a home run on a rehab assignment during a steroid suspension.
You guys got to get some attention somehow.
Cade McClure going after the throat of Fernando Tatis Jr. I mean, it is. I mean, Cade McClure, I mean, it's true what he said.
Cade McClure, let me help you. Let me help you. I respect what you did, bro, because you got unloaded on, so you figured you get your two cent in, you throw your little side punch on the way out. This is your most relevant moment in your professional career. I suggest that you make the most out of it. I suggest that you go down fighting. I suggest you pick up Twitter right now. And at every person who commented at you, comment back at them. Because I would have never heard of you if this wasn't the situation. I would have known who you were on Twitter. I would have known you as a minor league player. So if I were you, brother, I would reply to every single tweet that I have been bombed on. I don't care if it's 300 or 300,000. I'm coming for y'all. I'm going to get some breakfast. I'm going to Burger King. I'm going to get me a quick sandwich. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to tweet at all y'all. I'm going in your back history. I'm looking at your parents. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at your girlfriend. I'm attacking everybody. Because this is all you got, bro. This is all you got. So I applaud you. You fight the crowd. You are fighting the wave, man. Do you, bro.
He tweeted this morning, man, woke up to some juiced up Padres fans.
Yep. There you go. Yeah, that's my boy.
I think by day two he hired a writer.
Oh man, dude.
He's like, I'm gonna need staff for this.
Yeah, there's some bots in there.
Yeah, that's... I mean, the thing is, this is going to be the story of opposing fan bases. This is going to be the story of Fernando Tatis all year long. Just wait till he goes to LA for a series. Wait till he goes to San Francisco for a series. Wait till he goes to New York for a series. This is the way that it's going to.
What's like, funny Fernando about Tatis, this is
I believe the Padres play the Yankees in Yankee Stadium this year.
It's going to be loud. It's
going to be very loud. There's going to be a lot of Yankee fans chirping way more than Cade McClure.
Yeah, and that's just Twitter. That's what stinks, really, with Twitter. Everything that isn't a story can be a story. Mm-hmm. Like, this would never be a story. Like, nobody would ever care. It wasn't even that bad of a home run. They were like, that thing's way gone. It's like, it kind of just carried right over the fence.
An explosion. Line, but,
I mean, it wasn't like, it's like a minor league rehab. Yeah, he was suspended for something. It wasn't the most egregious a cheating offense we've even come close to seeing in the
it's
last
an A-bomb from A-Rod.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, he did get suspended for steroids. He did get suspended 80 games.
A lot and of it, games.
Yeah, whether you believe it or not, that is a very criminal offense in Major League Baseball.
No doubt. But that offense has gotten harsher punishment over the years.
Right. That's where I was going.
It was looked the other way. A lot of worse stuff was looked the other way. This is now guys paying for past sins. And there's no doubt he did what he did and he deserved to be suspended. But let's not put this in some, you know, Ryan Braun or, you know.
Who got an MVP out of it.
Yeah, I mean, Barry Bonds, you know,
whoa.
I'm just saying, Barry Bonds was in the paperwork. I mean, you could say he's a great hitter without it. I agree. You could say he's one of the greatest hitters ever with or without it. I agree. But, you know, Balco, the paperwork, the file, they don't lie. I mean,
Listen, Barry Bonds, the greatest baseball player of all time. Ain't never done no steroids. Stop it.
Oh, come on. Okay. The guy's head, he's injecting it into his skull.
Heads grow when you get old. Heads grow.
Funny how thin he is, but his head is still massive.
Heads grow, man. Listen, I don't know what to tell y'all. When you're a supreme athlete, sometimes your head grows.
You don't go from a peanut to an oak tree.
When you hit home, listen, if you put an acorn in the ground, it grow into a tree. Is it still an acorn? No, his head got bigger. You know, human evolution. What's the problem? Don't do that to Uncle Barry.
I didn't know there was already a player that was suspended permanently from baseball. Jenry Mejia suspended permanently from baseball February 12, 2016.
How many times did he get popped?
3 times. That's the rule. You go 80.
One short of Cano.
You go 80. Full season.
Full season.
Life gone.
Yeah.
But by the way, Robinson Cano got popped twice, by the way.
No, yeah.
Like, yeah, his second one was a full season.
No one talks about this. This guy made over $200 million playing baseball.
That's what I mean.
We talked about it last year.
Cano got off lighter than what Tatis is getting for, you know, I'm just saying, like, without Twitter, this thing isn't even a story anymore.
But it will be a story.
I mean, it will be when he comes back, you're right, like Yankee Stadium, they'll boo him.
It'll be a story.
But those are real stories, not a guy tweeting that it's never going to get to the majors.
Just wait until it's not a guy named Cade McClure and it's a guy named, you know,
Gerrit Cole.
Pete Alonso. You know what I'm just saying? Like, it's going to that's going to happen where a big all-star type caliber player will say something about Tatis being on stage.
Listen, man.
But he's earned that. He's earned that ability to kind of, you know, bad word talk.
This is a minor league. This was a minor league warm-up to major league insults we're going to face. That's all this was. If you're a Padre fan, consider this a minor league rehab stint of insult practice, because he's going to get railroaded. The day he takes the field, if it's in Arizona, it's going to be a litany of tweets, comments. It's going to be frontline news. It's going to be the head of Sports Center, and guys are going to be down. This is a good preparation for it. It just so happens that the guy who he hit the home run off of is the guy bitching about steroids. So just let's be patient, because there's more to come.
Well, there's plenty more to come.
We're just getting started.
And I actually like what you just said. This is a warm-up, not just for him playing baseball, but for what's to come.
Yeah.
And you're so right. You're so right.
It's like a double rehab assignment.
Yeah.
They're in Sacramento. Is there a lot of venom for Fernando Tatis in Sacramento, California?
No.
No. No.
This is light work.
Yeah, but hey. Tonight, Joe Musgrove takes the mound. So you got Musgrove and Tatis. This might be the most highly attended baseball game in Sacramento.
A hot ticket.
Even though Tatis has a scheduled day off. But people may not know that. So tonight in Sacramento may be the most attended. I can tell you what, there'll be more people in Sacramento than there will be in Oakland.
Facts.
I saw a stat that on Friday, the A's played a game and 13 AAA teams had more people in attendance than the Oakland A's did on Friday.
Just go to Vegas.
Say that again.
So the Oakland A's had a home game.
This early in the season.
The same day.
We're hoping still alive.
On Friday. I believe it was Friday. Could be Sunday. Either doesn't matter.
Right.
On the same day the A's played a home game, they were outnumbered for attendance by 13 AAA teams.
What? That's something else.
Yeah. Dude, you could be performing where home plate is going to be. For the Oakland. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that could be home plate is where the Laugh Factory is at the Tropicana. I know.
That's the rumor right now.
That's the rumor. You know, it could be like the Mall of America, where they had the old Minnesota. They had the home plate right in the middle of Mall of America. This is where it used to be.
Hey, man, this game had 4,000 people at it. This is like, so ESPN, you know how they do the attendance where they have like the people and they basically fill in the people. This has got a person and an arm. Like,
so you're talking about how many people were at the A's game or how many people were at the Sacramento game?
At the A's game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So they probably beat that last night in the Sacramento.
That's 4,000 announced.
Correct.
And we all know how that works.
Which is 2,000 in attendance.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Oakland Anonymouses. That's what what they should change their name to.
Their mascot is the Witness Protection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tonight, I think
it's a silhouette.
I think more people might be paying attention if the Padres don't play because of the weather in Atlanta to the Chihuahuas, because you got Joe Musgrove on the mound doing his first rehab from the broken toe. And so, dude, El Paso, shout out to you guys.
Sell those tickets, man. Get that merch out while y'all can.
They're still in Sacramento tonight. I don't know how the minor league schedule works, but they're in Sacramento for 6 games in a row.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Okay. To cut down on travel.
Cheaper travel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but
I think like even the lower level leagues that generate less money, sometimes they'll play like 9 in a row in a town.
Yeah.
Like so single, double A. Yeah.
I mean, it's good to see Tatis. The only thing I care about is, dude, just stay healthy. Just stay healthy.
Don't get hurt down there.
Do your thing. Because yesterday, Bob Melvin said, as soon as he's up here, he's going in. There's no restrictions. There's no inning limitations. There's no whatever you want to call it. Tatis, when he's back, he's back. He will be in right field. He will be playing every day, whether it be in right field or DH or whatever. So don't get hurt. Take the booze. Soak it in as much as you can, because that's just a little tiny microcosm of what's about to come to you. It might even happen in Arizona on 420. Like, maybe Diamondback fans hate Tatis. I mean, they're a division rival. So
the booze should energize you. And when you arrive at Petco Park, the enormous amount the hero's welcome he's going to receive, which is funny because when it happened, because unfortunately, let's go back for a second. When it happened, the people who had the Tatis jerseys, who put the tape over the name or the X on the jersey, what'd you do with that jersey?
Just took the tape off.
If I see you in Petco and you've got some tape, some duct tape marks on your jersey, I know you one of them. I know you
what
one of them.
See, like, one of what, though? Like, are we all of a sudden, like, okay, dude took steroids.
Yeah.
Let's love him again.
Hurt the fan base.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that everybody should just be like, okay, he's back. You know, I still think he hasn't done I still think he has not done a single thing for the San Diego Padres in over a year. And by the time he comes, it'll be 16 to 17 months, 18 months since we saw him put on a Padres uniform.
He might be right on time, though, when he does, right?
Yeah.
Like this could be the concoction that this team needs and he needs right on time. Coming off the heels of what they did last year, everything that they were able to accomplish in the offseason with contracts, all the expectations. I mean, he might be right on time as long as he hits.
It's all that matters.
Like, I'm not one of the people that, like, are hating on the kid anymore. I also am not one of the people that, like, am right back to, I love the kid. Everything he does is amazing. I think that there's a lot of people out there, and I don't blame them, that are still upset at him, man. How can you not be? Like, how can there, is it 100% that everyone's just going to welcome him with open arms and be like, we love you, we love you? No, it's like, it was all self-inflicted. All of it.
Yes.
All of it. And if you're still upset at him, because he would have been such a valuable piece to that team last year when they couldn't get enough hits against the Phillies, then I'm cool with you being upset. So if you still go to a Padres jersey and you still have duct tape over his name on your jersey, I don't care. I don't think that's a problem.
I don't think anything could have stopped that buzzsaw that Philadelphia was last year. I don't think anything could have gotten in the way of him being in uniform or not. I just think that if you're going to be one of those people who did that, stand strong. Stand strong. Show up at the park with the tape still on there.
And I know a lot of people that were pissed and that are no longer pissed. That's fine too.
Because you get over it. I think most fans who are upset about the situation have gotten over it, because at this point, we're focused on moving forward and success now that he is available. Like, you're not bad because he's not available. But what
he still has to make you get over it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Like,
oh, yeah.
His performance has to make it, because a guy like Bogaerts comes in and is going to tear the cover off the ball. Well, guess what? You better pull your weight and then some.
Don't go
when you
Soto
get back in this lineup. Well, Soto's going to get on base. He'll eventually find his way. Yeah, maybe he may disappoint in the batting average statistics or whatever. But at the end of the day, when you look down the end of the year, you'll see Soto, and he'll be hovering around 420 on base percentage no matter what he's hitting. And there'll be RBIs in there, and there's going to be home runs in there. And so Tatis has got to be the table setter. He's got to really fulfill the expectations so everybody does forgive and forget.
Yeah.
That's the plan. That's the plan. I think it's for everyone to kind of get it out of your system, be upset with him while he's not here, and when he gets here, be prepared to move forward and win baseball games, because that's what they're doing. They're not sitting around worried about the past. Right. They're worried about the future, because look at the opportunity that is presented in front of this team. That dugout, I think this may be one of the rare opportunities that a organization has gathered this much talent that had never done it before. The Lakers do this all the time. The Yankees have a history of doing this. The Cowboys try to do this, but football doesn't allow you to. Like, in every sport, basketball, four teams do it a year. You accumulate all this talent, but rarely do the Timberwolves do it. You accumulate all this talent, rarely do the Nets do it. Look what happened. So
they're like the Suns all of a sudden.
Right. So sometimes this doesn't work out. This looks like this looks like the Suns. This looks like this is going to work. And so therefore, as a fan base, be prepared to be happy. Accept the happiness. Don't look for the clouds. Don't look in the forecast for when it's going to rain. Enjoy the sun when you're standing in it.
I don't think anyone's going to be upset that he's going to be hitting leadoff and playing right field when he comes back. So don't get me wrong on that, but to all of a sudden, like, worship the ground that he walks on and do this tweet about how this reporter from NBC said, oh, this guy's going to tell his kids about giving up a nuke to Tatis. It's like, not everybody feels that way. You know, not everybody looks at it that way. And that's
That's kind of a dumb statement. I don't think he will, actually.
No. It's like, I pitched against Tatis when he was on a steroid suspension because he cheated. That's probably more likely.
In AAA.
And when he was 100% off the steroids, he still hit a home run off me, kid. So you should probably do something else.
That's if this dude, I already forgot his, Chad McClure. Is that his name?
Chad.
You didn't even get his first name right.
Cade McClure. Maybe he'll make it to the Giants this year. Maybe they'll get
Troy
to face
McClure.
Off. Maybe they'll get Remember to face Phil off Hartman at Petco and Troy or at McClure. Oracle. Maybe we'll see them together again.
Chad. Don't be
Chad or Cade. It's all the same name. It's like Duncan. Chad.
Don't be a frat boy.
Yeah.
Don't be a Chad.
Don't be a Chad. When we come back, the Aztecs have decided what they're doing. Will they or won't they? Will they parade it? Won't they parade it? Well, they announced it last night. We got the press release. We know exactly what they're doing. We'll give you all the details when we come back about what the Aztecs are planning on doing to celebrate their team that made it to the national championship. And I'm kind of on board with it. We are brought to you by Medcline. Medcline, go to KaplanandCrew.com. Click on that Medcline logo. And you're going to get 20% off your purchase at Medcline for any of their products, whether it be the shoulder relief system pillow, the acid reflux pillow, the body pillow, a combination of things. You're going to get 20% off your entire purchase. So go to medcline.com/greatfriends. So much easier. Just go to kaplanandcrew.com. Click on the Medcline logo to get 20% off. Go check them out. I have one. Scott has one. Browner's going to get one. Jason's going to get one. We're all going to get one.
I got to get one.
And we're all going to, my shoulders don't hurt. I'm not waking up gagging with acid reflux anymore. It's fantastic. kaplanandcrew.com. Click that Medcline logo. When we come back, we'll tell you exactly what the Aztecs are planning on doing this weekend to celebrate their national championship runner-up when we come back. Welcome back, everybody. Kaplan and crew, myself, Alex Padilla, Jason Lodge, John Browner with you guys today. Jason out tomorrow, but me and Browner may be here tomorrow. I don't know. Sounds like we're not. I don't know.
It's going to take a little three-day weekend.
I don't know. Well, it would be a two-day work week for me. I don't really know what we're... We can do the show, Browner, I think.
Whenever that's a question of, that always turns into a no. It always turns into a best of.
But I'm not going anywhere, so maybe we'll just do it.
Never stopped you before.
No, it has. I'm committed to this. But if I have a day off, I have a day off. I have no guilt about that. I got no guilt about that. I'll never be guilted into taking a day off or not taking a day off. Sorry. Not sorry. This segment brought to you by Penske San Diego. Go to PenskeSanDiego.com. So many dealerships, so many automobiles available for you, and it tells you every single one they have listed at every dealership they have around San Diego County. I bought mine in Escondido, Acura of Escondido, went on the website. I was like, ooh, I like that one. Ooh, I like that one. Got the link, sent it to the GM. Hey, I like these two. Cool. Didn't know when I pulled up to Acura of Escondido, they'd have both pulled up in the front, ready for me to check them out. Didn't have to walk around the lot, but if you want to, you could do that too. That's no problem. Just very convenient the way I did it. Go to PenskeSanDiego.com. Check out their entire inventory of cars that they have on lot or coming to the lot as we speak. Penske San Diego. PenskeSanDiego.com. Yesterday, we had this conversation about should the Aztecs throw this parade that was reported on Sunday on Monday that they were going to have a parade in downtown that was going to end at Petco, which made no sense to me. Not just that it was a parade for a team that didn't win the national championship, but a parade in downtown that would end at Petco. Why not a parade at San Diego State that would end at Viejas Arena? Well, the Aztecs have made up their mind, fellas. Did you guys catch a whiff of what they're doing?
Yes, I saw a small piece of it, but I don't really understand how that's going to work, and we'll get into
it. It sounds like a pep rally. It's called Celebrate. Well, I don't think it's called anything, but it's celebrating the Aztecs Saturday at Snapdragon Stadium. The gates open at 6 o'clock. The team arrives at 6:30. The program festivities begin at 7:30. What do they have planned for these program festivities? Well, it'll feature speeches from members of the Aztecs basketball team, including head coach Brian Dutcher, student athletes, along with dignitaries from San Diego State and the city of San Diego. Admission and parking are completely free, although you got to go claim your tickets at GoAztecs.com. So if you want to go to this thing, get tickets at GoAztecs.com. But they are completely free. Snapdragon will have concessions open. Parking lot opens at 4:30. It sounds like a pep rally. This is exactly what we talked about yesterday. Like, they didn't do it at Viejas. They might be expecting a larger crowd than 12,414 maybe. Or maybe Viejas is still under construction from the zombie apocalypse that they had to deal with for the national championship. But This is exactly what I was talking about. There's no parade. There's no bus route. There's no nothing. It's, hey, we're acknowledging this magical run that this team had to go to the Final Four. And I say magical because legit, look at the way they beat Creighton. Look at the way they beat Alabama. Look at the way they beat FAU. This is magic, man. This is just a destiny run to the national championship. Let's throw a rally. Let's let these dudes talk to their fans. Let's let the people from the city hall. Let's let everybody talk. Throw on a mic. It'll be wherever, boring, but it'll be cool. Go check them out.
Listen, man, wherever you put this thing, there's three things you need, okay? A bomb-ass hype video.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, get the make the best hype video San Diego State has ever produced. Behind-the-scenes talk, Dutch firing guys up after the win. Like, cut the best hype video you possibly can. One. Two, make sure there's video and sound everyone can see. And make it easy to get in and easy to get out of.
Yeah.
That's it. Those are my
my first one would be make it free, which they did.
Oh, I didn't think that required saying.
Yeah. So, well, anytime you do anything at a stadium, you never know. They might try and throw a little service fee at you.
$2 chuck in there.
Yeah. So it's free. It's completely open to the public. This isn't exclusive to X amount of people. Go get a ticket at goaztecs.com.
Yeah, I'm sure they got a nice fat check for making the NCAA Final Four. I'm sure there's incentives there for the universities where they can use some of that money to pay the security and the guys and all the people that it takes to get your cars in and get you out, and obviously the concession stands. That's a nice little gesture. I like it. I would, you know, I hope they do something bigger at the start of next season. I would love to see them bring the team back. I know some guys might go overseas to play, but maybe like do a Midnight Madness first night of practice, drop the banners, make a hype video, bring some people in to watch something to that event and really get the season started next year, cooking off of that vibe a little bit. But this is cool.
Yeah, I think opening night,
I wouldn't go to this, but I would go to what I just mentioned, maybe at Viejas before the season starts. I think opening night
at Viejas Arena next year, you do a re-senior group where you get them all back in there and do like just acknowledge them in front of the people that are Aztec fans, which, by the way, you just got thousands more of Aztec fans.
Oh, you got
a bunch of bandwagoners going to be fans next year.
I remember when Kawhi Leonard and that group of kids were at the program, how impossible it was to get a student section ticket. You'd have to camp out overnight. You'd have to wait in line for hours. My senior year, we played Arizona, and I think it was still Brandon Heath was still the main guy. I'm trying to remember who the main. It was like your boy Richie Williams was there. It was 2009, Brandon. I don't know if you remember exactly the roster. I'm drawing blanks on it specifically that year. But we played Arizona, you know, what was it, December, something like that, November, December.
Right, it had been early.
And the program hadn't really kicked up yet. You know, it hadn't really done it. There was no Sweet 16 yet. But it was coming up. You could tell we were coming up. Dude, me and my buddy rolled up 5 minutes before the game, got a student ticket. Went down to like the 10th row of the student section and watched the game. That's how easy it was to get a ticket when I was a student at San Diego State. And I would go to a bunch because I was like, you're going to give me a free ticket to go watch a basketball game. I live across the street. Let's go.
Right. I'm in.
But we were playing Arizona and it was still that easy to get a ticket. So when you have that heyday that you did during the Kawhi Leonard years where people were camping out, and then now, because the program grew so much, they needed more season tickets, so they closed the student section even more. What is that student section going to look like next year? It has to go back to the old school, the show days. I know the show is still around, and I know, but like the original, the show, how it used to be, just insane. When Jimmer Fredette would go there, and everybody was dressed like Mormons, whatever you think of that, it would be hilarious. I think that next year, it's going to be a lot of that. It's going to be a lot of that next year.
The question is, can you still do some of that? Like, can you imagine the dressing up like a Mormon now? How that would roll over with people?
It would definitely come under scrutiny from social media, at least. At the very least.
100%.
Yeah. Katie McClure might tweet about how that's not okay anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Or one of the players' mommies or daddies would just
be like, mommies or daddies.
Look what they were doing to my boy. It's like, oh, your boy's a man.
Mommies or daddies. That is hilarious. Did you guys see this, by the way? The Aztecs losing to UConn averaged 14.69 million viewers on CBS, which was the least watched national title game on record.
Not shocked.
Yeah, not shocked. This is also the lowest CBS ever aired. Before Monday night, UConn's win over Gonzaga or over Georgia Tech averaged 17.09 million viewers. That was the least watched because they alternate TBS, CBS, TBS, CBS, TBS, right. CBS. So this is the lowest watched CBS, but lowest ever on record. The previous low was 15.9 million in 2018 when Villanova beat Michigan. But yeah, I don't care.
Again, who saw the FAU San Diego State game? Like, what was that number?
That number was up from last year.
Really?
Yeah, the number was up from last year. I don't remember. I think it was up 8% from last year. I don't.
Well, the East Coast. Look, Connecticut's not a big school. I talked to my dad, who's loves basketball. Right, my family. It sucks if you're on the East Coast and the game tips at 9:20.
Well,
I mean, on a Monday night. Dude, on a Monday night, it sucks.
It sucks that it started at 8:20, and I was there.
I know, but it's just like so many people, and then they go, "Well, I don't have any really stake in this." UConn doesn't have this huge enrollment that supplies a massive alumni base.
They needed a San Diego State.
Of course.
I don't understand how the women's national title game is at Sunday at, it was 2:00 Central. That's perfect. Beautiful. That's perfect.
They're talking about double dipping now. Now, men's directors don't want any part of it, but look at the numbers. Why wouldn't you just follow up? Don't have to be at the same site. That's what they think. Oh, well, we got to do it at the same site. Mm-hmm. No, just have it on after the women's game.
Yeah, I don't understand why. I mean, on a Monday night, is the West Coast really like that flimsy that you have to start it at 6:20, even for the West Coast? I've never understood the Monday night thing. Like, the NBA didn't schedule any games on Monday. Would they do the same for Sunday? Like, if people are going to, are you really losing viewers to Reds, Mets? I don't know. Like, are you really losing viewers to White Sox Royals? Right. So there's no football.
There's no reason to college move it. Basketball, you're not going to move it.
Yeah. I know, but Monday night just at 9:30 on the East Coast.
For like people like my dad and mom who would love to watch. My dad can't. He's asleep in a chair by halftime.
The game.
I was in bed last night by 9:45.
They shouldn't break. That's not new for you. They shouldn't break the cycle. The game should be Friday, Sunday. Because that's the way it is, the round before and a round before that. And this should be Friday, Sunday. The fact that they go Saturday, Monday, it's not like these guys have a travel day. It's not like it's a scheduling conflict. You play the Final Four on Friday. Yeah. You play the championship on Sunday. Everybody wins.
None of these kids are coming home correct after winning the Elite Eight, going to class on Monday, and then leaving Tuesday. Like
that's not how it
works. And they all fly charter. No one's flying commercial anymore. Correct. It's all chartered, especially if you make it to the Final Four. It's all chartered.
You could play 2 days in a row after that week break. Two early sessions on Saturday. Have the first game start at 2:30 or 3:00 East Coast time. The kids get a good night's sleep. And then you have a Sunday evening game at, 4:30 tip West Coast time. They're fine.
Yeah. If you started this game on
You make them play four games in a row if you're in the Big East tournament.
Exactly.
Right. If you started this game at 4:00 on the West Coast, no one would be upset with you. No one.
Because if you really want to watch the game, you'll find a way.
Correct.
And the West Coast is used to these kind of we got to watch it a little earlier so the East Coast can fit, So it's like, it's already... I mean, what's 6:00 on the East Coast or on the West Coast when normal games on the East Coast start at 7:30 when they're not worried about the West Coast?
I still trip out too. Like, so this is a similar but different conversation. So, like, pay-per-view fights. Canelo don't get in the ring till 9 p.m. Pacific. Like, that's crazy. I don't know why promoters do that. Like, dude. 9 p.m. Pacific, it's midnight on the East Coast, and you want people to pay $80 to watch this? You don't think it would help?
Same with playoff baseball.
When Tyson Fury fights in London, and that thing, that junt is at 2 p.m., that's great, rock man. That thing is dope.
Little midday drinking. By the time the fight's over, it's nighttime. It's time to do something
else. Time to go out. Yeah, time to go out, man. Yeah, man. Dude, that's crazy to me. And honestly, I don't ever really pay attention to it because I am on the West Coast. But being in it, like, I was sitting around all day. My buddy's like, let's go. I'm like, go where? It's 2 o'clock. There's 6.5 hours still tip. Where do you want to go? He's like, I don't know. Let's just go. And I'm like, okay. But, dude, I'm sitting around until 8:30 for this game to tip off. I got back to the hotel like 11:30. It's crazy. Crazy. Anyways, San Diego State, Saturday rally. I'm calling it a rally. I don't know what else to call it. I'm calling it a rally. It starts at 7:30 at night, West Coast time, at Snapdragon Stadium. It's all free. You can go to GoAztecs.com to get your tickets, claim them, get them, go support them, show them the love that they really do deserve, to be honest. They really do deserve that love. I saw the video of them coming back from Texas, and like half the team was wearing cowboy hats.
Yeah, I saw that.
Dude, I wanted one so bad. I thought it was such a missed opportunity by the Final Four. They were selling bucket hats at all these merch shops. I was like,
Bradley looked great in one. Like, dude, did you see Bradley? He looked like a black Marlboro man. He looked awesome in that hat.
Dude, how do you not sell Final Four cowboy hats? How do you not sell Final Four cowboy hats?
It sounds like a layup to me.
Dude, I was searching for them. I was like, they have to be here. There's no way they're not here. Dude, not a
Final Four is in SoFi next year, right?
I believe so.
I think so, yeah.
I believe so. Is it big enough?
I mean... You think?
Yeah, no, I know. No, but the conversation about SoFi is they can't host the World Cup final in 2026 because it's not big enough to fit a soccer field, and it was not wide enough. And if you if they remove seats to make it wide enough, then they're gonna dip below like 70,000, and the minimum for World Cup final by FIFA is 80,000. So SoFi. I don't know how you don't think about these things.
Well, to be at the Rose Bowl then? Because they played the Rose Bowl that back in 94. There was
probably be like in Jerry's World or something like that.
Glendale or something. Yeah.
Maybe New York. I don't know. Somewhere like that. You don't have to have it domed off. It's soccer.
Right. That's because
if it rains, it rains.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right. Yeah.
You just can't play in lightning, right? They won't play in lightning. That's the only
thing. About it. Yeah, I've seen snow games, rain games, hail and lightning are the only two things I've seen a soccer game get stopped. Hail and lightning. I believe that was it.
Hail, lightning, and riots. That's it. That's the only time.
Yeah. Oh, dude, speaking of soccer, did you guys see this Chula Vista $2.5 billion stadium thing?
They got a rendering for you yet?
No, just pictures of the land.
Oh, hey, listen.
Brother, you throw me a rendering. You throw me a rendering.
I know you love a rendering.
I love a rendering.
How many total do you have? I have a publisher for the rendering book.
Talk to me.
I totally forgot to tell you about this until you literally just said it right now. I thought I'd written it down on my notepad, but I did. I have a publisher for you, man. When you're done, you're ready to wrap it up, however you want to do it, you let me know. I will personally see to it that you get one edition of this published as a coffee table.
Yeah.
However you want it.
I need an artist. I need a graphics artist. Because I don't want to just put, picture description. I want like a nice, I want it to look nice. And I also need a ghostwriter. Because I don't want to write any of it. Listen, I'm very lazy.
Whenever you're ready.
I can do the writing for you.
Whenever you're ready. There you go. See? We already figured
out
half
the copywriting.
I can't wait to start off with like the opening page will be the stadium on an island. That was pitched. It was just over in downtown where the Hilton is now.
Yeah.
They just threw a bunch of dirt in the ocean. They're like, let's build a stadium here.
We're doing it.
And I think that was out in like the only picture I could find was like a black and white drawing from like, I think it was like the 60s or something like that. I have a folder somewhere. I've tweeted a bunch. But yeah, that rendering book probably do. I mean, that the Padres turned their Polaroids into a coffee book and that thing sold out immediately. In San Diego, everybody loves a good rendering, man. But if you keep throwing renderings at me, this book is never going to end.
Like I said, I'm ready when you are.
An investor group that is said to have long-eyed ownership of Major League Soccer is pursuing a long-shot venture to build the nation's largest soccer-specific stadium with 50,000 seats and two attached hotels on a 136-acre portion of the Chula Vista Bayfront formerly occupied by a power plant. I can't read today. The proposal is for a $2.5 billion development by Petra Development Group. But here's the problem. There's already an MLS group talking to MLS that Don Garber, the commissioner of MLS, loves. And sources tell me, I just said that, Browner.
You did. I'm pausing because I'm like, okay.
Sources tell me trademarks have been filed to the city for certain names for an MLS team. This is what Mark Ziegler said, who is the soccer reporter here in town. An investment group is pitching $2.5 billion MLS stadium and sports complex at Chula Vista Bayfront. One problem. His sources tell him MLS has never engaged with this group and is only considering the Sikwan Mansour group that emerged last fall.
Can I ask you something, Alex, or at least pose this to you? Because I'm not, you just enlightened me a few minutes ago about the World Cup and stadium specs. If you were going to spend this much money, if this was all going to happen here in San Diego and build the stadium and you were going to get this team, you were going to spend that type of money, wouldn't you attempt to make those specs at least somewhat available and attractive to future World Cups? I mean,
that's kind of why people are scratching their head. Like, wait.
Right. Okay.
Because even when they pitched the World Cup, and LA pitched themselves as part of the people that wanted one, they literally put the corner flag in the bleachers. Because they'd be like, oh, we'll have to expand it to go this way. It's like, so you spent $7 billion and you can't even host anything but football in there and basketball?
Right. Yeah, concerts.
And concerts. And by the way, if you sit at the top, I've been told nothing but terrible things about acoustics at SoFi for concerts.
Probably, I would imagine.
So... this segment was brought to you by Penske San Diego. Go to PenskeSanDiego.com to check out their entire inventory of automobiles at all the dealerships they have. PenskeSanDiego.com. It tells you exactly what automobiles, cars, vehicles they have on lot right now. Penske San Diego. PenskeSanDiego.com. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dr. Max A for a second. We'll get into it. The Russell Westbrook revenge game, Browner. I watched it.
Hey-o.
Watched it.
Me too.
And me too. The NBA totally screwed the Lakers. I'll tell you exactly how.
Oh, come God.
Back. Next. Ooh. Welcome back, everybody. Kaplan and Crew with Just the Crew. Myself, Alex Padilla, John Browner, Jason Lawhead with you guys. And reminder, 7 Mile Casino, May 4th. These two will be performing. We're going to have dinner together. Then these two are going to perform. We're going to have espresso martinis. I don't know what Jason's drink of choice is, but I think we should all have an espresso martini together at 7 Mile Casino.
I'll have one.
On May 4th, details to come likely tomorrow, but for sure Monday we will have details as far as price goes and all that stuff. But May 4th, mark it in your calendars, great friends reunion with a comedy show by these two. We're also brought to you by Mountain Trust Realty. Gary was on the show yesterday telling you about the latest in the housing market. Go call him or visit mountaintrustrealty.com. 858-376-1299, 858-376-1299, 858-376-1299. I'm sure Gary's going to be there on Saturday at the Aztecs rally. He's a huge Aztecs fan. So, fellas, I told you.
I wanted to ask you before, what's your fancy drink of choice? Like, we know, obviously, Browner is being endorsed by the espresso martini. But, like, when you're out or you're at a nice craft place and you want a, like, really nice experience, what's your kind of go-to?
Mia always old fashioned.
Yeah.
But if I'm at a cocktail place, or you know, like there's a Polite Provisions, or if I'm at a speakeasy like Raised by Wolves or whatever.
Yeah.
I genuinely look at the menu because I'm not opposed to trying something fruity. I'm not opposed to trying gin or vodka or whatever, tequila. I'm really into mezcal right now.
So
I'm really into mezcal right now. But if I'm at a dinner, I'll just rock with an old fashioned.
Right.
That's my go-to for sure.
Yeah. Kind of me too. I'm like between an old fashioned and a Manhattan, a really good Manhattan I like as well.
I'm also really like into the coffee liqueur in an old fashioned right now.
Mm.
That's good, dude.
I can see coffee liqueur in like a mezcal, kind of a smoky. Mm-hmm. That might even be like a little dash of that might actually be good because I like that smokiness of that mezcal.
Dude, there's a mezcal has replaced a lot of alcohol for me. Like if I do a Bloody Mary, like we're in Houston, I ordered a Bloody Mary with mezcal.
Is that a Bloody Maria?
Could be. Oh. Could be. I like that. You should phrase that.
In Canada, they use instead of Bloody Mary, instead of tomato juice, they use clamato juice, mm-hmm. clam tomato juice, and they call that a Bloody Caesar. And then they put celery salt around the ring, like how you salt a margarita. They do that with celery salt.
Sounds delightful.
It's really good, actually.
It sounds delightful. I mean, I'm a clamato guy. Like I'll replace that thing with anything.
Try a Bloody Caesar someday. I think you like it. Maybe even try it with mezcal. You can kind of do a Bloody Caesar. What would Caesar be in Spanish?
Cesar.
Cesar. A Bloody Cesar. I didn't even think. A Cesar Geronimo.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't think Alex is the best person for Spanish translations, and he knows why. So.
Why, Cesar? Your Honor? Why?
Chest? Should we go back to that?
I know it now.
I mean, yeah, but.
Nobody watched that show that day. Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Seems pretty simple to me.
Ask me another word. I'll translate it.
No, I don't want to put you on the spot.
Go for it.
I don't have any.
You don't have a single word that you want translated.
Listen, I'm an English guy. I don't need no translations. Y'all know how I get down.
Y'all know how you feel.
Once you cross the border, you already know what time it is.
Racist.
Don't do that. Don't do that to me. Don't do that.
That's about as racist as it gets.
No, it's not. What are you doing? No, it's not.
You don't think if you're in America, you should speak English? That's pretty.
It's not racist.
I mean, isn't it?
No. It's our country's language.
Is it though?
Yeah.
I would say it is.
What are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, I still think that's a racist thing to say.
No, it's not.
That you should speak English?
If you are in this country, you should speak English. Everyone here does. It's literally the only way to get any real business done here. You want a job? You want a real job?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. What's happening?
What?
What's racist is when like these people out of nowhere, like if two Spanish people are in the grocery store speaking Spanish to each other and you're not even in a conversation,
then you're
like, hey, it's America speaking English. Like that's these people that get caught on video. These people are nuts.
Right, like, go back to your country. Those are racist.
I think I told Browner for this the last time he brought this up was there was a video of a Mexican lady in Mexico. This white lady was asking her for something and the Mexican lady goes, speak Spanish. This is Mexico. if you don't like it, get out.
Good. They should.
See?
Yeah. Hold your ground. Hold your ground. But you were here. I need English.
Jason,
need
you English. Speak? Did you speak? Did you speak Catalan when you were in Barcelona?
God, no. No.
How dare you?
Go back to your country.
You speak Italian when you were in Florence?
Grazie. That's all I say. Prego. Yeah. Buongiorno. I said like 9 of the words that I knew what it meant. And they were all one word. There was nothing. I never added a second word to a word. Never strung that along.
So I watch a lot of, I watch a lot of F1. And every time one of the Ferrari guys is speaking and they speak Italian, I'm like, if you just go slower, if you just speak slower, I will understand you. It's so close to Spanish. It is so close. It really is. Like, just go slow. And I speak Italian. I could do it.
Yeah.
Some words are not.
Yeah, you know, I hate myself for one thing. I've always said, and especially in the last few years, as I got a little older, I was like, I'm going to learn Spanish or I'm going to learn Italian. It's a goal of mine. It's like a bucket list. And I'm going to.
Are you moving?
No. Well, if I got that kind of, we've peered at property just to see what the investment is. It's not easy, but it's affordable. It's just not an easy process.
I think before I got this dog, if I didn't get this dog during COVID, I would have bounced, dude. I would have bounced.
It went where?
I honestly could see myself in London.
Spain.
I could see myself in Spain. 100%. Because
I've heard where everybody's going, Portugal.
I would thrive in Barcelona. Thrive. These people wake up at noon.
I will share this with you 100%. The only reason I still live in this country, and this is no BS, The only reason I still live in this country. No. She wasn't born at the time.
Okay.
The only reason I still live in this country is because they don't have NBA basketball in London. I would not have left. I swear to you. I loved internet. It so much that I'm not waking up in the middle of the night to do that.
Yeah, you got to watch it at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Record it.
I would have never, ever left. Wouldn't have never left. I had that much fun.
Yeah.
So, London. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. But
you guys know how much I love soccer. Football.
Lots of soccer over there.
Oh, you would love Barcelona. I mean, that's the whole. I mean, you would love Spain.
Like, there's like 10 professional teams in London. They're like 5 big ones. Like, huge ones.
Yeah.
Dude, it would be. Yeah. I would do.
You could go between Barcelona and Madrid and then shoot up to London once in a while and just you'd get so much soccer.
Yeah. So much. And then, dude, going from London to like Italy is going from Sacramento to San Diego. Like, it's, you know what I mean? It's not far.
It's not far at all.
I remember a flight from London to Dublin was like $30. Wow. And I don't think it was Spirit. I think it was like a decent airline. But anyways, I don't know how we got
just slingshot. Yeah, slingshot you across the water.
Yeah, I guess so. But
we broke our promise to whatever that guy's name was.
Sorry, dude. Back to traveling again.
Yeah, not bad, bro.
Traveling. We're world travelers on this show. When Scott's gone, we're going to the south over here.
We're
I was in Houston. Browner is always in like random places on Earth without telling us. So yeah, who
that's
knows true. Where he's been?
It's last crew point oh. Hey, that's I got a good one. Crew Point O comedy show.
Crew Point O comedy show. There you go. May 4th, Sequan Casino. Wow. I got to edit that one out. 7 Mile Casino.
Oh, wow.
Let me write that one down.
Edit that out real quick.
All right. Yeah, so before the break, I told you guys about how the NBA screwed over the Lakers.
Oh, my God. What is happening to you?
Last night, the Clippers beat the Lakers. And it's all the NBA's fault. It is entirely the NBA's fault. A, it's kind of the Lakers' fault because LeBron is 50 years old and he can't play back-to-back days. But still,
and
how does this happen? How does this happen? The Lakers finishing a 5-game road trip have to play Tuesday night in Salt Lake City, right? It's their fault they went to overtime, but still, they had to play. So they were in Chicago, in Minneapolis, in Houston, in Salt Lake, and then on the road, very far in L.A. But they still, at the point is, they still had to travel from Salt Lake to L.A. Back to back. No one's crying about AD not playing. He played. No one's crying about LeBron playing. He played. So that narrative's finally done. But how do you make the Lakers play, wrapping up a road trip, a back-to-back, and give the Clippers 3 days off before they play? 3 days off. They didn't play since Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Really? Yeah.
Really? You're him now?
Watch the first half and tell me which team had 3 days off.
Look, so the fact that the NBA schedule shook out the everybody has that problem. You can't be serious right now. You can't be.
I'm very serious right now.
That's the NBA schedule. Everybody does that. That's
at
why
this
people
point of
to...
the season, that's such a huge advantage for the Clippers.
Well,
at this point of the season.
You shouldn't be in this point. You shouldn't be at this point. Look at the last two seasons.
The Clippers are there too. They had the same record going in the game.
But I'm just saying if it was in
they're not complaining.
The shoe was on the other foot.
Because they had 3 days off.
Well, if the shoe was on the other foot, that the situation they'd be in. The Lakers in the last two seasons have been gifted the first 2 months' schedule, and they didn't do anything with it. Last year, the year before, but I'm just saying, the year before and last year, they didn't do anything with a very favorable home heavy, lot of days off schedule in that October to early December run. And they were behind the eight ball both years.
Don't talk to me about October and November basketball in the NBA.
I'm just telling you,
April,
they were getting the favorable schedule
early
to get out of the
road trip. All I'm saying is 3 days off? At this point of the season? That's not an advantage for any team?
I'm not saying it's an advantage or a disadvantage. It's just how 82 games eventually shake out, and the schedule fell into that spot. And guess what? I don't think they're making the schedule going, hey, man, when the Lakers are white knuckling their way into the playoffs, let's screw them here with three days off.
They
should be in the playoffs.
NBA doesn't want the Lakers in the playoffs.
Yeah, because the last five games they played, four of them to under 500 teams. Yeah, it's super, super rigged for them to lose. Yeah.
And look how they have to finish. Look how they have to finish.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Uh-huh. Yep. Versus the scrappy Jazz.
As long as you can hear yourself. Suns. Not the scrappy Jazz not having their best two players out because they're trying to tank. The Phoenix Suns, who I hope are tanking this game so they can play the Lakers in the first round. I want nothing more in my basketball life in this playoff for the Suns to play the Lakers in the first round. That ain't happening now. It could. It still could. Clippers, Warriors could lose out. Lakers get the fifth seed. Yeah.
No, those Clippers will hold the
tiebreaker.
The Clippers would hold the tiebreaker now, especially with that win. The Lakers had to win out. I think from
the Lakers could after the Lakers
before the Jazz game they had.
I think the Lakers could theoretically jump the Warriors. I don't see them jumping the Clippers. So,
right. So they can best they could do is six.
Yeah, it would be But now, honestly, if you're looking genuinely, Brown, I get what you're saying. If you're the sixth seed, you're playing the Kings. If you're the seventh seed, you're playing the Grizzlies. Wouldn't you kind of want to be the eighth seed and play the Nuggets?
Yeah. Yes.
The only problem is there's no guarantees of winning one and winning one.
You got to work your way into the eighth seed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So right. I think that the sixth, if you're the Lakers, you want to play the Kings.
Listen, yeah. If I'm the Lakers, I don't want to play the Kings.
Well, everyone's saying that, but they have no experience. No team goes from being absolutely trash to winning anything.
I'm not saying I'll
play anything. Mike Brown in a 7-game series before I want to play Monty.
But before we run out of time, I just saw. Sorry, I totally did not see this. Sorry, Dr. Max A is jumping in real quick before we run out of time in the segment. Dr. Max A from iThrive MD, what's up, dude? What did you just did you love that riveting conversation about how the NBA is rigged against the Lakers?
I mean, I completely agree that the NBA is rigged. I just got to say, I'm a huge Phoenix Suns fan. I'm not happy how the finals played out for us a couple years ago, but I am stoked. For this first round. Yeah.
I didn't know you were a Suns fan. Are you from that area or are you just a Suns fan?
Huge Suns fan.
Are you from that area originally?
So I moved from Europe to Phoenix, and then I spent high school and college there. So I was there for the Nash out of my years, Marion, and everyone was awesome.
Oh, so you got scarred when Steve Nash got knocked into the scores table.
Oh, 100%. I have a long laundry list. Rigged games in my memory. It's true.
Was Leandro Barbosa on that team?
Yes.
Yeah. He was my favorite player to never play for the Lakers. I love that guy. I don't know why. I've always loved that. I love the way
Brazilian
he plays.
Blur.
Dude, he was so good, man.
Warriors won that first championship, man.
Dude, yes.
Yeah. I loved Leandro Barbosa, dude. I loved him. And honestly, I like the Suns too. And then they gave us a broken Steve Nash and it wasn't so fun. So whatever.
That was so sad. I was actually stoked for him to like hopefully win a championship or go somewhere with Kobe.
Yeah. Dude.
My favorite son of all time. Greatest name in coaching history. Cotton Fitzsimmons. Is there a better name than Cotton Fitzsimmons? That's so great.
There's no better son than Oliver Miller. What are you doing? Shout out to Oliver Miller.
Oh, big Oliver Miller.
They also have the best mascot in the NBA. The gorilla is amazing.
No, the Bulls have the best mascot. What are you doing?
I don't know. I've seen a lot of Gorilla Suns. I don't know his name, but that dude does some crazy stuff.
Gorilla?
Is that his name?
No, I don't know.
Gorilla. Oh.
Gorilla. Sounded good, though.
I'm telling you what, man. If KD's healthy, the Suns are a problem. Well, we all know that. Sure. We all knew that going in as soon as they got him, and they haven't lost with him.
7-0.
Yeah.
And it looks awesome, by the way, if you watch it. It looks great.
But to be honest, I think I'm not kidding. I think anybody in the West – definitely. So right now, the top six teams, any one of them can win,
except for Sacramento.
Yeah, probably. But that's just because I haven't seen them do a single thing. But somehow they're 48-32 this year. So, anyways, Doc, before we run out of time, man, iThrive MD, how's it going? Busy as heck, as always.
Yeah, we are busy. We are going to be expanding some of our telemedicine availability. You know, our clinic is packed full, so we've been having trouble getting people in here. We're trying our best to open up more space, get people to do some more virtual consults, at-home blood draws, things like that. And we will have a second location hopefully soon where we can see some more patients and get some more flow through the clinic so we can serve more people because there is a ton of demand right now. But it's going great. You know, we're seeing great results. Start publishing some statistics on like the total weight loss, average weight loss we've been having since we launched the program about 6 months ago now. So we can really get some good data to start presenting and like have some more hard facts when we're on the show here, you know.
Very nice, dude. Well, I'm one of those hard facts, 45 pounds. I went to Houston, didn't gain any weight, was eating and, well, not really eating too much, but drinking and doing that whole thing. I was out there for the Final Four, and it's really interesting because, like, it's just no matter where you are, that appetite is the appetite, you know, like,
yeah,
morning, yeah, very small amount of eggs and a little piece of sausage, you know, lunch, sometimes skipped it, dinner was a small amount. It really does change the way you look at food, the way you interact with food, the way you crave food is very different. And I think that now that I've been doing it for 5, 6 months, whatever it's been, 45 down, the relationship with food has totally changed, man. Completely. Mm-hmm. It's really fascinating.
Yeah. And that's the most important part, you know, just from when we're growing up and all the food that we're exposed to and snacking and emotional eating that, and like really easily accessible food. We don't really have to cook that much anymore. It just disconnects us from the food. So it is such a great tool to reconnect you to your diet and really be more observant of what you're eating and putting in there, because our hormones and our body's cravings for sugar and stuff override all those senses just because it feels like our body needs it. So yeah, again, it's just such a great retraining tool. And, you know, we hope to provide more full dietary plans. I want to bring on some dietitians, so individual counseling and like tailored diet plans for people who are having trouble kind of eating better or just don't have the tools or the understanding or knowledge of how to give themselves healthy, balanced meals to support their weight loss and long-term health, you know?
So yeah. My wife is really like dove into that. She's doing like super healthy, like smoothies in the morning. We're like, we don't even eat breakfast really anymore. It's just like a smoothie in the morning, like a light lunch, and dinner's always fluctuating, but it's always just like, we're splitting food now, man. Like we're literally going to Chipotle and splitting a bowl. Like it's crazy how that is enough energy all day, you know?
Just based off of your pictures at the Final Four, like you were posting, Alex, like we saw each other in person when we went up to that Lakers game. But man, I really noticed in the pictures with Scott, like your clothes are hanging on you. Like they're not even, they don't even fit right. They're just like, they're like robes almost.
Refresh the wardrobe, which you got to consider too, you know?
Dude, I'll finish up on this. We got 60 seconds. I was at the merch shop and I got the Aztecs Final Four shirt. And I was like, I'm so used to saying 2X. I'm like, so he gave me a 2X. And I was like, you know what? Give me an X, dude. Cause I put it on and it fits. It's crazy. Like everything, you're right. The wardrobe is totally changing. The pants that I bought 2 months ago are now looser now. It's crazy. So go to KaplanandCrew.com, click that iThrive logo. It's $2.99 for the first 3 months still, right, Doc? The Great Friends discount, $2.99 for the first 3 months. You can get all your work done in 3 months. You don't got to be like me. You don't got to be on it for 6 months. So go check them out. Anything else? Any final words, Doc, besides Go Suns?
And that's it. You know, we just got a bunch of other services, full consults, IVs. We do hormone replacement, NAD, peptides. So if weight loss isn't right for you or the semaglutide doesn't agree with you, we have so many other options to help you feel your best. So thanks for having me, guys.
Always appreciate you, man. Go to KaplanandCrew.com, click that iThrive logo, and you're going to get all the information you need. And you could be like me. Or more, who knows? So more when we come back. If you're watching on YouTube, stick around. Uncensored portion coming up. Highlight of the day coming up. We'll be right back. All right, dudes. Time for the uncensored portion of today's program. We're all done. Jason, always appreciate it, dude. For real. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, man. This is always fun.
Always appreciate you jumping in. We know sometimes we just ask you last second and you say, yeah. So always appreciative. But right now, since we didn't get to it during the four segments of the radio portion, let's do highlight of the day. The promo code is still SlamDank. Spend $75 at Toria California Listings. Use that promo code SlamDank. I got to text Scott and Ruthie right now. See if we're going to update that promo code. But right now, it still works. Right now, it still works. Crew 0.0. Well, we don't get to decide. Tori gets to decide.
Oh, I got you.
I'm texting Scott right now. I was on a meeting with Scott this morning. This dude takes vacation and still works. He's like you, Brown. It's fucking ridiculous. Like, just don't talk. Don't talk to me. If I'm on vacation, just leave me alone.
Mind your business. Just do nothing.
He scheduled a meeting this morning. We got a meeting tomorrow with 7 Mile at 9 a.m. Like, dude, take a day off, bro. You're in Mammoth. Go ski. Go to breakfast. Go get a, what is it called? A Bloody Caesar, or what'd you call it?
Get a Chris sandwich.
Get a Chris sandwich. Get a Chris sandwich. Breakfast burrito. Anyways, highlight of the day. Browner, this man cannot stop making history. He can't. The guy is incredible. Shohei Ohtani, the first player in baseball history to get both a pitching violation and a batter's box violation.
Oh, man.
A pitch clock violation here has been called against Ohtani. With Cal Raleigh about...
Not in the batter's box at 8 seconds. Or... I guess not in there in 8 seconds.
He's got to be.
Yesterday, Shohei Ohtani pitching gets a pitch clock violation, and hitting gets a batter's box violation. First player in MLB history to do that, Browner. Huh? Can't stop making history.
Great.
Here through the first six games of the season, Shohei Ohtani hitting .286, two home runs, six RBIs, .971 OPS. His pitching, he might be a better pitcher than a hitter. Dude. He might be a better pitcher than a hitter.
14 Ks per nine innings. I mean, dude, he should have won the first start he had.
0.75 ERA, 12 innings pitched, 18 strikeouts. Angels, Browner, Angels, 4-2. Better record than the Padres right now.
That's what you're doing?
Right now, it's a fact. I'm not doing anything. Fuck, I'm just saying.
You finna give me the 4-2? You give me the 4-2. That's what
you
give me?
Win. 4-2. He's winning.
You give me 4-2? That's what you give me?
That's all I can give you right now.
It's a 667 winning percentage.
All right. Okay. You two motherfuckers keep on.
0.75 ERA, 18 strikeouts.
Are we on the dirty part already?
Yeah, we're on the dirty part. Uncensored.
Okay.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know why y'all think this is some fucking parade throwing type of shit.
No one's throwing a parade. Just
for this guy, it seems to be.
I think is your freaking noise. Is your car service here? Time to go to the south.
What's happening? There's so much there's noise outside.
Time to go to Alabama.
Yeah, let's go then. Let's just get out of here, Jason. Enjoy your vacation,
Browner. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
Do something tomorrow, I guess. We'll figure it out.
You let me know. You know where I'm at.
I came up with a great idea. Oh, dude, fuck.
Oh, what?
Do you know about the Chatlin's nickname for you?
Me?
Yeah.
What?
Do you know about their nickname for you?
No.
You're not going to like it.
Oh, who cares? What is it?
I don't know where I jumped into yesterday, but it was just like a lot of clown emojis.
Mm-hmm.
Clowner.
Brutal. That's pretty good. Who came up with that?
I don't know. But I was like, it's clowner. Solid. Wow. The Chatlins have turned on Papa Chatlin, dude. They've now called him clowner.
Oh, listen, first of all, I know who may have inspired this. I just refuse.
Is that for the
give...
Chris sandwich?
No. I just refuse to give that person publicity because they literally just go in there to be the antagonist.
Yeah.
So therefore, I refuse to even engage that person. Or
what do
mention
you say? That's
on
what you do
show.
On this show. You come on this show and you're the antagonist.
Yeah, but I don't do it in a nasty way. I do it in a thought-provoking, conversation-driven way.
The chat was weird yesterday. I had no idea what the fuck was going on. I never do. Yesterday was weird. And I came up with a great idea.
It has a life of its own.
I came up with a great idea. When we're off, I'm going to put a 90-minute blank screen so the chatlins can just have their chat for the day.
Dude, that would be a good thing to do tomorrow. Just let people go in there and sub Reddit each other.
Just put our logo up. Just put our logo up for 90 minutes. And let the chatlins just do their chat. Whoever comes in, do it.
No, come in there and bomb on us.
I mean, they're not talking about what we're talking about 99% of the time anyways.
They're never fucking talking about anything that's on the show. They're talking to each other.
Yeah. So I came up with the idea. I was like, maybe I'll just put a blank screen and let you guys do a chat when we're off. And if we're off tomorrow, maybe I'll do it tomorrow.
There you go. That test run tomorrow.
Lawhead, enjoy your trip. Clowner, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Clowner. Good stuff. Good stuff. Bye.